Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It's your girl, Denise Salcedo, and it is Tuesday, May 7th, and I am here to chat to WWE NXT with you guys here today. Now, I'll be honest with you, the show ended a little bit earlier than it normally does, and there were only a couple of big topics for today, so this will probably be a shorter stream, only because I'm looking at the card and I'm like, all right, well, there's only so much that we're going to get into for today's show. The big thing is, honestly, one, Wes Lee officially having his match back after a couple of months. The other one was Roxanne Perez versus Chelsea Green. And then the biggest thing that we're probably going to be talking about on the show are the 12 women that have officially qualified for the NXT North American Championship tournament that we're going to be having. So the top 12 women from the Combine have officially been named. So we're going to get into all of that, into predictions and everything surrounding that entire title picture, because that's actually something that I really cannot wait. When I say in the last couple of months that the women have been carrying the NXT brand, we are going to see it even more in the next couple of weeks, because there's going to be a lot of really good qualifiers. We only know of two so far. We still don't know who everyone is facing in the actual qualifiers, but I feel like just based off of the names that we've got, it's going to be interesting. So we got some interesting stuff to get into, but let's go ahead and get right into some super chats that we got here. First and foremost, thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for gifting 5 DWO memberships. Continuing his streak, Sheldon, I lost track already on what number you're on for the streams, but freaking thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. He also sends in a super chat saying, I hope WWE put together Duke Hudson and Bronson Reed. Really? I'm going to be real with you. I get your vision. You know what? Let me finish reading your super chat and then I'll be real with you. He says, I hope WWE put together Duke Hudson and Bronson Reed, because then we can say we have TMDK and WWE and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Reed and Hudson and WWE, Zack Sabre Jr. and Hayes, Nichols, Eagles, Fujita and Tito in New Japan Pro Wrestling, just like GOD. It's not an idea that I'm crazy about. I'll be real with you, Sheldon. I see the vision. I understand, but I just don't like the idea of Bronson. I want Bronson Reed to do his own thing on the main roster like he has. I still think that they can build him up to be this like beast, this animal on the main roster. And I just don't think that I would be too interested in the pairing of him and Duke Hudson on WWE TV. So unfortunately, I get the vision, man, but I'm not co-signing on it just yet. We got Starve Steven here who says, let's go. 14 months of the DWO. Steven, thank you so much for being part of the DWO now for over a year. That is insane. Steven also sends in a super chat saying, hopefully this main event reminds people just how amazing of an in-ring wrestler Chelsea Green is. I really enjoyed the match with Roxanne. Well, then let's go ahead and get started there, because that was definitely something that I wanted to get into right at the top of the show. And the reason for that is, dude, I was thinking the exact same thing. The first thing that I wrote down on my notes when I was watching this match was, finally, it's been a while that we have seen Chelsea Green like in a legitimate match, because for the most part, they basically put her in these really quick matches, on whether it's a singles match where she's being just fed to Jade Cargill, or she's in these throwaway tag team matches. And even though it was fun to see her in all of these different tag teams with Piper, with Sonya, and I think that's all the partners she's had, point being that I feel like we already know what they're going to give Chelsea and what her role is as an in-ring competitor on the main roster. And I felt like today on NXT, I felt like she actually got a chance to show what she can do at least a little bit more than she normally gets to. Because again, because she is this more of a comedy character on the main roster, I feel like they also don't let her really show herself as a serious competitor in the ring, because the comedy, her character is so driven by the comedy. And so for that reason, I do wish that we saw more of this on NXT, specifically for Chelsea Green. Now, here's the thing. I'm watching this match and I'm literally thinking like, my God, if Chelsea Green were an NXT superstar primarily, dude, she would be like the focal point of the show. Remember how Mandy Rose used to be the focal point of NXT for the women's division? Like, yeah, there was a bunch of girls that were killing it, that were doing their thing, but everyone knew that that women's division belonged to Mandy Rose. If Chelsea Green was on NXT permanently, she would sort of take over that role because of her personality. Now, again, I don't think that's actually going to happen, and I feel like she can contribute so much on the main roster, so I'm pretty sure everything is as is. She was really just in here to do this one match with Roxanne Perez from the looks of it, but regardless, I thought that they did a good job of just reminding us, hey, this is Chelsea Green, and also she just fit in very nicely here with Roxanne Perez in this match, and Roxanne, of course, won. Nobody was expecting anything different, but get this, everybody. Get this. I had been asking for it. A lot of people had been asking for it, and we got it. We got an interaction with Chelsea Green and Ariana Grace. So, talking about comedy, talking about characters, one of those people who is doing just that on NXT is Ariana Grace. Of course, everybody knows who her father is, Santino Marella, and she clearly He passed on his comedic bone to his daughter. The legacy lives on. And so she goes out there all the time, and she's very hilarious. So a lot of people have been wanting to see her interact at some point with Chelsea. Last week, when we found out that Chelsea Green would be facing Roxanne Perez, everybody, including myself here, were like, we need to see at least a hi, a hello, anything between her and Ariana. And we actually got it. And we got more than a hello. We got a couple of minutes. And I was very into this, again, because big fan of both girls. But it was funny to me because I guess in my mind, I pictured them as enemies. I didn't picture them getting along. And in what we saw here tonight on NXT, they were actually getting along. And it was weird. It was weird, but in the best way possible, because they just had instant chemistry. Instant chemistry. They were so fun together. And even though they're so different, they both were just seen eye to eye with one another, and they were both supporting each other. And I'm like, oh my God, we never see Chelsea with any friends besides Piper. And even then, Piper, when that whole friendship with her and Chelsea started on the main roster, it wasn't necessarily out of a common bond. It wasn't because they had things in common. It wasn't because they got along. It was more so just because she needed a partner and Piper wanted gold. And she kind of bossed her into being her partner, because if you remember, she didn't actually give Chelsea Green a choice on the main roster. She just came in and was like, I'm your partner. And that was that. And of course, chemistry has, came out of that. It's actually been pretty funny. They've had some good stuff, but she hasn't had anybody else like her on the show. I'm not even sure. I'm not even positive Piper likes her, but seeing her actually have a friend was nice. And then same thing for Ariana, even though she's been doing all of these little skits with Georgina, Gigi Dolin, they are not friends. And so seeing her support Chelsea and Chelsea supporting her, it was like this alternate universe. But I actually like that they went the direction of them being friends instead of them being enemies. I just thought that they would get on each other's nerves. I thought that each one of them would want to be better than the other. So I saw more of a competitive nature between them possibly unfolding, but I was completely wrong. They got along, they were best friends, and now I want to see more of this. Now, I don't know what their plans are. Of course, we just had the draft. We just had a couple of people from NXT get called up to the main roster. We had three women get called up to the main roster. I don't know what their plans are specifically for Ariana Grace. She still has a lot of more work to do as an in-ring competitor, of course. But from the character standpoint, she's already got it down. She's got it down faster than a bunch of other people. And so it's like, okay, people want to see this pairing between her and Chelsea Green. It just felt too natural. So what do we do? Do we see Ariana Grace go up to the main roster at some point and have this pairing with Chelsea Green? Do we see Chelsea Green go down to NXT and have this pairing with her? Or do we just not see it at all? Chances are we're just not going to see it at all, and this is all we're getting for now. But it is something that I think people would be intrigued by if we were to see a pairing between Ariana Grace and Chelsea Green. But at the same time, they're both killing it. They're both two totally different characters. Ariana Grace is, you know, Miss Pageant Queen. She abides by all of the traditional rules that women have had over the years. And, you know, she follows the rules and she's elegant and she comes across in a way where you're just like, I want to slap you, but in a good way. And then as for Chelsea Green, I was about to say Karen, but that's literally her character. She's a Karen. She's super bougie, but in a way that, again, also makes you want to smack her. So same exact deal, but two totally different characters, but they played off very nicely with one another. So I was so happy that we got that. So overall, a win for Chelsea today, a win with her with that match with Roxanne Perez, and then a win with that backstage segment with her and Ariana. Some good stuff there. We got Hunter Tillman, who's been a DWO member for 15 months, says 15 months strong. Hope you've been well, my friend. I've been good. It's so weird because my last stream here was on Friday for SmackDown with Robin, and then not until today here on the channel. So there was a couple days and it felt weird. Like, I'm so used to streaming on Saturdays now that when I don't stream on Saturdays, I feel like I haven't been here in centuries, even though it's only been like 2 days or whatever, how many days have passed by. Hunter, thank you so much for the love. We got Sheldon here who says 72 straight streams with a gifted membership and counting, on my way to 100 straight streams with a gifted membership. I cannot believe it, Sheldon. I can't even believe it. Holy cow. I don't even know what to say. 72 straight streams and you're planning on 100? Oh my God. Okay. Thank you so much. Seriously. We got Jay Stone here who says Triple H wiped out the NXT men's roster. Trick, Oba, and Wes aside, they lack depth and star power. You can kind of feel it already. The ladies are carrying it, to be honest. Jay, my friend, step into the room here because I have been talking about this every single week. I completely agree. I sound like a broken record already. Every week I'm saying we need more dudes. I feel like that should be my slogan. That is officially my slogan for these NXT post show. We need more dudes. We need more men. We just need it. It's so funny to me because in a world where pro wrestling is dominated by men, we don't got enough of them on NXT. Who would have thought? We finally got to a moment where we need more men, but no, we really don't. And I know you can make a joke of it. You know, we can make all these funny jokes about it. But point blank, we really do need more men on the roster because you can tell, like, Trick Williams is one of their hottest stars that they've had in a while. He's gotten over. I mean, we were talking about how the building literally erupted when he won the NXT championship. And his first program that he's in, it's with Noam Dar. And that's not, you know, how do I say this? It's just not big enough. It's not a big enough program given how popular Trick Williams has become and the program that he just came out of with Carmelo Hayes. This was billed as one of the biggest matches in NXT history. And NXT has a really great history of feuds and whatnot. And they were billing this one as the biggest. And for his first defense to be in this program with Noam Dar and this whole, you know, metaphor, love connection stuff, it's cute. It's fun. I giggle. I have a good time with it. But it's not anywhere near as serious. And you look at it and you're like, okay, well, who are some of the other options? Who are the other guys that you're going to see him in programs with? Right now, they haven't heated up Lexus King enough. They haven't heated up Sean Spears enough. Obafemi's doing his own thing. He's a champion. He's in a totally different picture. And you got guys going out there for his championship. You got Ivar, Josh Briggs, with the returning Wesley, which we'll talk about in just a second. And you mentioned, who else did you mention? I was kind of in. There's other guys there, but they're either in a tag team or they're just not there yet. They're just not at the level yet to compete for the NXT championship. So it is very, very limited and it does show. And I've been saying this for weeks. So I'm hoping we get some fun surprises of some dudes that can go out there and kill it and actually feel like they can be stars, single stars later on. But yeah, it's sort of been wiped out. But that's even when we had Carmelo and Ilya. At that point, they had tired out those feuds. Like there was, we saw all that we could with Carmelo and Ilya. So you were going to run that back again. We saw Carmelo and Trick multiple times. And then we saw Trick and Ilya multiple times. So that whole three-way dance had been done in every single variation that you can think of. So even then with those two guys there, it was already slim. The roster was feeling slim for the guys. So yeah, Jay, I do definitely agree when it comes to the men's roster. And then I know someone brings up Javon Evans. He's so new. He's just a kid. He needs to flourish a little bit more, have his time. So at some point down the line, great, but not right now. He's still too far from that. But let's go ahead and continue. Let's get into Wesley versus Josh Briggs since we already touched on the subject. And this one, the big thing about this was really that it was Wesley's first match back. Now, this guy hasn't wrestled since November of last year. And crazy because the last match that he was in that four-way with him, Bronson, Cameron Grimes, and I'm blanking right now on everything else that was happening in that match. But when they did that four-way, and all I remember from that is that was Cameron Grimes's like last good match in WWE, literally, because he had already been on the main roster. They weren't doing anything with him. He has this match on NXT. It's great. And then he goes back to the main roster and then nothing happens again. And so then you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, whatever. Unfortunately, now he's gone. But it's so crazy to think about what happened during that time. And so anyways, this is not about Cameron Grimes. This is about Wesley. The thing that Wesley revealed is that he talked a little bit about his surgery. They did a whole video package. And one of the big things was that he had like a 3-hour back surgery, which just sounds painful. Every time I hear this stuff and I hear about all of these surgeries that people have had throughout the years, when I was younger and I used to hear like, oh, this wrestler got injured. Oh, that wrestler got injured. Oh, no big deal, right? Because I was a kid and I didn't really understand injuries. And they all bounced back so fast. They really did. So many of those guys bounced back so fast. So in my mind, I'm like, it's just the norm. They got a superpower. They can get through it, right? But as I got older and obviously a lot more educated on this stuff and also had freaking dental surgery of all things. I'm not hardcore. I've never broken a bone, but dental surgery is all I can talk about in regards to surgeries. And even then, man, that thing took me out for like 2 days. So think about something that's way more serious than dental surgery. I'm talking 3 hours with the back surgery. And I think about all of these, people that tear their ACLs and just everything that happens. And I feel like we've gotten so used to a world where it's like, oh, they'll be back in X amount of months. It'll be fine. But I think sometimes we forget the struggle, the in an everyday struggle of one, getting injured, having to have surgery, having to recover, having to deal, because sometimes it's just never the same. No matter what you get fixed, it's never going to be the same. And so I say all of this to say that Wesley came back and he didn't miss a beat in this match at all with Josh Briggs. As a matter of fact, like even when he won this match, there was a little bit Josh Briggs and Ivar. That's who it was. Josh Briggs and Ivar. They started to go at it on the outside of the ring and they're punching each other. And what does Wesley do? He does a swanton off of the top rope. And I'm thinking, dude, you just came back from surgery and you're already doing this. Obviously, he has a very high flying style. That's what he does. That's what he does. But even so, it had that moment of like, oh, I want to enjoy that. But at the same time, oh, I can't. But man, more power to Wesley. He really, really looked like, you can tell he was so happy to be back, that he was so thankful to be back, because you just never know. In those times, you're like wondering if you're ever even going to make it back. You know, your demons, your paranoia, everything kicks in. And so Wesley truly looked happy to be back. So anyways, the whole thing here is all of these guys Josh Briggs, Ivar, Wesley, they're all trying to get to Obafemi. So Obafemi has a couple of good options of people that he can go in and have a match with. I'm probably thinking that at NXT Battleground, I don't know if Wesley's going to have a one-on-one match with Obafemi. That feels like the most realistic option. But I also wouldn't mind it if they did like a four-way. I honestly would be so cool with a four-way because I feel like Wesley, I don't think he's going to win the NXT North American Championship right now. And I don't think he should only because Obafemi right now is doing a whole lot. I like Obafemi and he's different. And we've seen Wesley with that title. So I feel like Obafemi needs to continue on doing his thing. So for that reason, I almost want to get like a fatal four way. That way, if Obafemi wins, he doesn't necessarily have to pin Wesley, right? You sort of protect Wesley in that way. And then also you can get a little bit more action with like Ivar. And they did such a good job last time in their last match. So, and the pay-per-view match too was really fun with all those guys. With Dijak and with Josh Briggs and Oba, like they killed it. They had the best match of that night. So that match and then the match that Obafemi had with Ivar, all of those matches tell me that I want a fatal four-way or a triple threat or whatever happening at Battleground instead of just a one-on-one. But it's fine. It's cool. Whatever they decide. We got the Bep Jr. here who says, I've had many injuries and current one, it's no fun. Thank you so much for sharing. And also thank you so much for being a DWL member now for 14 months. Nope, it does not look fun, guys. Anybody here who's had surgery, power to you. I don't want to sign up for that. Don't want to sign up for that. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the NXT North American Women's title picture. So let's go, because this is going to be the thing that's going to carry a lot of the streams for the next couple of days because they're going to kill it. So here we go. Ava, not Ava Rain, Ava, our general manager, has announced the 12 names that are taking part in this tournament. Of course, these were all decided through the NXT Women's Combine in which they tested, what was it? They said speed, power, strength, and conditioning. And they had them do all of these things like run the ropes and all of these really hard things that I could never do in a million years. And they did them, and here were the 12 names that impressed. So let's read these off. We have Sol Ruca, Thea Hale, Jada Parker, Brinley Reese, Meechan, Fallon Henley, Lash Legend, Ivy Nile, Izzy Dame, Kalani Jordan, Tatum Paxley, and Ren Sinclair. So out of these 12 names, six of these women will be competing in a ladder match at NXT Battleground for the NXT North American Championship. So that is where we're at with this. And I was trying to make it so that I could appear on screen with this, but I don't know how to do that. So we're just going to have to roll the way that we're doing it right now. Okay, so out of these names right here, guys, I'm going to pick six that I think are going to be part of this ladder match. And so first and foremost, now keep in mind, we don't know who's facing who. We only have two matches that have been announced for next week of the qualifiers. And the two matches that were announced were Sol Ruca versus Izzy Dame. So we already know Izzy Dame is out. And Ivy Nile versus Lash Legend. Now, Ivy Nile is an interesting one because Ivy Nile is not an NXT talent anymore. Like, she should technically not even be in this. I don't know why she is and why people that were just there, like Kiana and Lyra and Blair Davenport, are not. I don't know the rules, but Ivy Nile is not an NXT talent. And they definitely had a lot of NXT girls that they could have easily put into that slot. So whatever, that's a decision. It's fine. I like Ivy Nile. Cool. I'll choose to look the other way. But with that being said, I do not think that Ivy Nile should be defeating Lash Legend. I think Lash Legend should be defeating Ivy Nile. Even though Ivy Nile is a main roster talent, I say it should be Lash Legend because she's actually been pretty impressive. She's on screen all the time now on NXT, so I don't want to see her lose to Ivy Nile. So here we go. Let's pick six of these women. So first and foremost, I do think Sol Ruca will be part of this tournament. 100%. She also had the top ranking, so she's definitely she, like I said, she's going to defeat Ivy Dame. So Ivy Dame's already out. Izzy Dame. Izzy Dame's already out. My bad. All right. So Soruka is my pick here to make it into this match. I believe Thea Hale will be in it. I believe Jada Parker will be in it. That's three already. Fallon Henley is my fourth. Lash Legend is my fifth. And my sixth, this one's a little complicated, but I'm going to have to go with, Meechan. I think Meechan will be the sixth girl in it. And I was kind of debating because I wanted to also see Kalani Jordan in it, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be Meechan. So those are my six names of the people that I think are going to be in the qualifier, in the ladder match. And the winner, and I've been saying this since last week, the winner in my eyes is Soruka. Soruka, I'm rooting for her all the way. I think she's the one to take it. If I was going to pick a plan B, someone that would take it, the plan B would be Fallon. And my plan C would be Thea Hale. But again, my number one pick for this one is definitely Soruka. So we should be getting some good stuff from this tournament. We got Steven Marchuli here who sends in a super chat saying to build up the NXT dudes, push Lexus King. He's also picking Soruka to win. I love it. Everybody is rooting for Soruka. Now, I'm not saying everybody is, but a good majority of you guys are rooting for Soruka, and that makes me freaking stoked. Yes. All right. Anyways, just glad to know we're all on the same page here. All right. So that's where we're at with this one. That's where we're at with the NXT women's names. And we'll continue to talk about these as we continue on each and every single week watching these matches play out. It would be easier if we already knew who was going to face who and if we actually had the brackets. Like if we had the full tournament bracket, it would be so easy to just say what's going to happen. But clearly they want to keep you on your toes, keep you a little bit surprised so that you're tuning in every week to watch NXT. So there you go. That's what's going on with the women. That's my prediction. And let's continue on. I want to jump into Meechan because we were just talking about it versus Ariana Grace. So Meechan is also a main roster talent, but she's been appearing on NXT. And technically, I think she was on NXT when the OC came down to NXT, but she never actually appeared with them on NXT, and now they left, and they're on the main roster. And now Meechan is also on NXT, but she's also on the main roster. Now, you're probably confused right now, and you should be. You should be confused, because the way that they've done this was very confusing. But I don't know. Meechan is a main roster talent that's been appearing on NXT. All right, that's the simplest way to explain it. I'm not going to get into the shenanigans, or actually I already did. I already got into the shenanigans of what's been going on with a lot of these main roster NXT appearances and what they've been doing there. The draft, kind of a mess with those things, but whatever. So the point is, Meechan has a match with Ariana Grace. Now, Ariana Grace, we've already spent a lot of time talking about her and her good comedic chops and everything, right? Meechan, though, on the main roster, has not gotten a fair shake. She has sort of just been, she's just been there. They've just had her there with the OC. That's it. Like, they really haven't had her do much. She's had a couple of matches here and there. Not very many came out too memorable, only because they were really throwaway matches. Like, they really haven't given her, any major stories. I mean, she is... The biggest story she's had was that AJ Styles decided to ditch the OC. And the OC and everybody was confused. All three of them. They were like, why isn't AJ talking to us anymore? And that was the biggest story that they've had her do thus far. So now she's appearing on NXT here. She has this match with Ariana Grace. It's a fun match. It's very brief, so there's only so much to say. Meechan gets her win in a very fast match again. So my point is, the reason why I think she's going to be in this ladder match is because why have her there? Why have her there and then not do anything with her? You know what I'm saying? So for that reason, I do think Meechan will be in this ladder match. And if she's not and she's just there to fill up a slot, then my bad. Completely misread that. But I feel like they should actually put her in it. And she's honestly really good at those types of matches. you know, I got to see her do a lot of that cool stuff over on TNA. So for that reason, that's also why I'm hoping that Meechan is in the actual ladder match at Battleground. So we'll see. And Larice Johnson says, I thought rosters are locked yesterday. Larice, they did. They did lock yesterday. I'm telling you, I don't make the rules, guys. I'm just out here trying to explain them. That's my job. But for real, they did lock yesterday. And by the way, we also saw the OC appear today on NXT. I don't know. I feel like they need to tell us. If people are going to be both main roster and NXT, they need to specifically say it out loud. Because if not, we're just like, you know, we're all just looking like Beavis and Butthead trying to figure things out and just laughing along the way. That's all you can do at this point. So there you go. That's it. That's all we got. All right. So let's press on. Let's get into, you know what? Let's keep it with the women and then I'll switch gears. Shayna Baszler versus Carmen Petrovic. Oh my God. There's another one. Damn. This is what I'm saying, guys. This is getting confusing. Shayna Baszler, also a main roster talent, but she goes down and she faces Carmen. This one made a little bit more sense only because Shayna was there to support Lola Vice last week at the NXT Underground match. And through it all, she developed this beef with Carmen Petrovic because they were both on the corners of the respective person, Lola and Natty. And so this one does make a little bit more sense as to why this match actually happened. And for the most part, again, another really quick match. And the only thing to really say here about this is that Carmen, she reminds me, and I know a lot of you played this game because this game was very popular. I remember when it came out, it's a mobile game called Fruit Ninja. If you guys know the game, please let me know in the comments. So Fruit Ninja, as you guys know, it's that game where you just like swipe and swipe and swipe and your fingers are moving all around and you're trying not to get the bombs and you're just trying to swipe away the fruit. That's what Carmen reminds me of. Carmen Petrovic reminds me of that game because in this match, her thing is her kicks, right? So she's always out there hitting all sorts of kicks in every single direction. She's like, kick here, kick there. That's Carmen Petrovic. She reminds me of the Fruit Ninja game, but instead of using your finger to swipe, she's using her legs to just try to kick anybody out of the way like fruit. I swear to God, I know it's weird, but that's what I was thinking of while I was watching this match. And so she's literally getting Shayna in all of these different strikes, and I'm just thinking like, damn, she's coming out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, she threw her back kick, front kick, side kick, roundhouse, all of them. It was very fun to watch that. Very, very fun. Shayna, of course, through the midst of all of that, ends up catching her, getting into the Karafuta clutch, gets the win. So while Carmen was very flashy, unfortunately, Shayna outsmarted her and got the victory. So Shayna gets the win, and I don't think we're seeing Shayna as of right now moving forward on NXT. I think this was a one and done situation. So that's what I'm taking that as. So we'll see. We'll see. Oh, Pierre, by the way, Pierre says, I love Carmen scream with her sword. See, she comes out with the sword and I'm telling you, Fruit Ninja, I'm telling you, that's what she reminds me of. There's probably going to be a couple of people now that are going to be like, I need to download that game. This is not an ad for Fruit Ninja, all right? So I don't care what you guys do, whether or not you download the game. I don't care. This is not an ad for that. But I do play the game when I go places because it's fun. But whatever. This is not an ad for Fruit Ninja. All right, moving on. We got a super chat here from David Kaplan. Thank you so much to David who says, did you think Chelsea might win? No, I didn't actually. There was no way they were going to end Roxanne's reign. Oh my God. Can you imagine that after all of these months of talking about how she didn't get to have her first reign be anything. And then all of a sudden she wins again for it to end tonight. No way. That would have been crazy. David also says, also, do you think Chelsea will do more matches in NXT? Also, I saw a video you did at the World of Dance 7 years ago. When did you do your first interview? Thanks. Oh my God, David. You literally just completely took me by surprise with that because I completely forgot I did the World of Dance 7 years ago. My God, you just hit me with like literally, I just got slapped with nostalgia right now. Okay, so really quickly, I do hope that Chelsea Green will do more matches on NXT, but I have a feeling that this might be it for right now, but I would like it if she did more. And some of you guys already know this, some of you guys don't, but I was an entertainment reporter before I started doing pro wrestling coverage full time. I did entertainment reporting from 2014 through 2020. That is what, 6 years? 6 years, guys, of interviews. 6 years of interviews with a million celebrities, A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list, you name them, event after event after event. Done a lot of interviews. I've done a lot of events. So I forgot more than half of them. But the world of dance, I remember I was interviewing a bunch of little girls who were like dancers. And this was at the, if I remember, the Long Beach Convention Center. And it was fun. It was very, very fun. But I don't even remember what year it was. But a lot of those interviews, I'm also very young too. So I'm very green. And so I hate kind of, I sometimes I cringe watching those interviews from my past because of what I do now. But at the same time, I'm very thankful for all of those interviews because that's what prepared me for what I do now. So it is like an entirely different world. But every now and then, people will come up to me and be like, hey, I saw you interview this person several years ago. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that was me several years ago in another life. But yeah, so I have 6 years, guys, of entertainment content that people don't even realize, but it's out there. It's out there. I was very green, but it's out there. David, thank you so much for the blast from the past. I appreciate that. Wow. All right. Moving on. Let's go ahead and get into Kalani versus Fallon Henley. We've been talking about these two quite a bit here today. Fallon Henley, who just recently turned on Thea Hale and is a heel now. And Kalani is still Thea's friend as of right now. She's just a good girl. She's a good girl. And they had a fun little matchup here, but Kalani was the one that like blew my mind. And even commentary made sure to note this and even played a replay of it. But she had a beautiful takedown into a headlock. And they replayed that like two times. No, just once. they replayed that because it was so freaking nice. If you didn't watch this match and you do decide to watch it, keep an eye out for that. But she just goes out there, Kalani, and I got to applaud her because she goes out there and she just tries a bunch of stuff. I feel like I have forgotten this girl's moveset. And every time she goes out there, I'm like, oh, she can do that? Every time. Because every time she goes out there, she keeps it fresh. She keeps it different. And so she kind of, I don't know, she keeps me on my toes when I'm watching her because I never know what I'm going to expect from Kalani. I'm a big fan of hers. And I was also a big fan of Fallon. So I'm just happy she's got a big story now as a heel. But this was pretty good. And Fallon, she hits a running drop kick to Kalani and ends up winning this match. But that was really kind of it. Kalani showed out really, really well. And Fallon Henley is moving forward as a heel. And we're just in the starts of it as of right now. I was expecting a bigger follow-up to Fallon as a heel because it was such a big moment when it happened last week. So I was expecting more, but this was fine. It was fine. But I was expecting more of a, what the hell, Fallon? A little bit more of some, I don't know, like I felt like there need to be more of a repercussions around here. It didn't really feel like that. It felt like she just walked in like it was any other day. So that's the one thing that I do think should have been delivered a lot stronger, which was that, hey, look at what she did last week. What she did last week was really messed up. Let's hone in on that. So there you go. I think that was everything with the women today. I think we already got all of the women's stuff out of the way because that was literally the meat and bones of the show. So let's go ahead and get into some of the other topics that went down. Really quickly, we did have the Supernova sessions. We've kind of talked about this a little bit. Trick Williams is going to be feuding with Noam Dar. Again, it's not anywhere of the same level of where he was at with Carmelo Hayes in terms of storyline. But we talk about how the men's roster, there aren't very many options right now for Trick. So this will have to do. But the big thing that I guess the big thing out of this, the biggest thing is that Lash Legend and him have a very complicated romance. One second, they're really feeling it. The next second, she's denying it. The next, she's trying to hurt him. The next, she looks like she's trying to blackmail him. And then all of a sudden, it seems like she doesn't want her friends to know that she's involved with Trick Williams. I think that's the story that we're getting at here. I don't know why, but she just doesn't want people to know that they're a thing, that they're an item. And the funniest part in all of this was Trick Williams saying that it's clear Lash Legend doesn't want people to know what she really calls him. What she really calls him is Trick Willy Wonka. Take that for how you will. And no, Amdar punches Trick Williams. Trick Williams was out with that one punch. I don't know. I didn't love it. And we're also going to be seeing, they announced a match between Javon Evans and Noam Dar for next week. That's what it was. They announced that match because they had an interaction backstage and Javon Evans was sort of pissed at what he did about Trick Williams. And yeah, it is what it is, guys. It wasn't the very best. It does feel like there's not enough to lift up Trick Williams right now as champion. He's sort of doing it on his own with his presence. Like he has got a lot of popularity, so it's working because he's popular and people care about what he's going to do. But it just feels like now they need the challenger and whoever he's in a story with to meet those demands. And right now, it is what it is. This isn't the best storyline. It's a little cheesy, but I guess this is all there is right now with Trick Williams. So we're just going to have to roll with it. We're just going to have to roll with it, guys. And maybe it'll get really good. But it's more along the lines of a little corny. But the romance stuff with Lash Legend and Trick, it's kind of funny. They have, obviously, they're a real life couple. So that chemistry is instantly there. And it's really funny. So that does work. But again, it's not necessarily lighting the world on fire to see Trick Williams and Noam Dar. So it is what it is. All right. And speaking of lighting the world on fire, we had the No Quarter Catch Crew versus Tyson and Tyreek. So let me think. How do I want to present this? As you all know, they had, and they didn't tell us this, but this was written in between the lines, that the family, Tony D and his guys, have gotten rid of a member from the No Quarter Catch Crew, as we all know, is Drew Gulak. However, the No Quarter Catch Crew has not paid their debt to the family. So they did them a favor, yet they didn't actually pay for it. So now the family is punishing the No Quarter Catch Crew. And the way that they decided to punish them this week was by having Channing Stacks Lorenzo be the referee. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was so bummed that I didn't see this match. No, I have two thoughts. Really, it's that I don't love the idea of having a wrestler be a referee, because even though it's supposed to be funny and it's supposed to fall in line with the story, I think it makes the NXT officials look dumb that they didn't step in and go, you can't do that. And so I'm watching and I'm going, where's Ava? Why isn't anyone saying, hey, you can't do that? Those are not the rules, because if you could, then everybody would do it. And so it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you kind of just have to let it go because it's part of their specific story. But when you talk about NXT as a whole, it doesn't make sense to just be like, oh, yeah, hey, we took out the referee and here's this guy who's the referee. What? No, it's so silly, and it makes the whole entire brand look silly. So that's why I didn't love this storyline that they did here today, in particular with the referee. With that being said, we got a very fast match, and that I liked it because it was quick, in and out, done. They screwed the No Quarter Catch Crew, and that was it. We can move on with our merry day, and I appreciated that. So take it for what you will. All right, and last but not least, we have Lexus King versus Duke Hudson. Oh, man. Lexus King stole my hairstyle, guys. I don't know how many of you guys noticed this, but Lexus King stole my hairstyle. Not the one I have today, but you guys have seen me a bunch of times when I would pop into the stream with my top bun and the rest of my hair down. It's my hairstyle, Lexus. Lexus King stole my hairstyle. Anyways, that was the most interesting part of the match. In no way should Lexus King be losing to Duke Hudson, so I was glad the Lexus King got the win here, but again, not lighting the world on fire. I just think that they need to really, like, they lost some of the momentum, so much of the momentum that Lexus King had when he came into the WWE, when he came into NXT, and everybody was really digging all of his promos where he was ditching the name of Brian Pillman Jr. and going with Lexus King, and I'm ready for this edgy guy to come in. And they just kept not doing really, they're not doing anything big there. And we want to see something big with Lexus King. Like, I think there's still that interest of wanting to see a big story there. But instead, he's just in a bunch of random matches that don't really go anywhere. His biggest feud was with Trey Bearhill. Do you guys remember Trey Bearhill? Unfortunately, he was part of the releases. He had my favorite song on NXT, and he's gone now. I only heard that song like 2 times. Anyways, that was like the biggest feud he's had. That, and he kind of got involved with the Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams storyline for a bit. But he wasn't like, he was maybe part of it for like 2-3 weeks. Like, he wasn't a key figure in it. It led to a match between him and Carmelo Hayes, but that was it. Great. That was awesome. He got a PLE match. Awesome. Against Carmelo Hayes. Cool. But that's literally been it. So I was just expecting a little bit more on that side of things, but we'll see. We'll see what they do here. Again, glad he got the win, and that was really all I can say about that. But that was NXT for today, and next week we will have the qualifying matches for the Women's NXT North American tournament begin. Soruka versus Izzy Dane, Ivy Nile versus Lash Legend. We're going to be seeing Tony D versus one member of the No Quarter Catch crew, Javon Evans versus Noam Dar, and then OTM versus Malik and Idris. I'm looking forward to that one. We got a super chat here from Retro Mint Man, who says, I really want Lexus King to succeed. I really love his promos before the Halloween debut. Felt like he'd be a bigger deal. Same, dude. I think a lot of people felt that way because he's got a cool look. He really, really elevated his look from what he was doing on AEW. Like, he looks cool. He's got the beach blonde hair, which he always had, but I don't know. He's trying different things with his look. He's got the really interesting beard because it looks like it's drawn on. It's different. It stands out. You know, he's got the cool clothes. He's looking like, I don't know. He's looking like I'd run into him at a freaking biking event. I don't know what I'd be doing at a biking event, but it looks like I'd run into him there. I really thought he'd be a bigger deal. I really thought so too. And I think he still can be, just with the right story. And right now there is no story. If this story is with Chase U, they just need to, I'm done with Chase U, guys. I hit the expiration date with Chase U. So that's where I'm at with that. But I know everybody here in the chat loves Chase U, so I'm not going to hate. But my expiration date is long overdue now with Chase U. I think they need to break them up. I know. I said it. And I'll say it again next week. And I probably said it last week too. All righty, everyone. That is it. That is the NXT post show for today. I will be back Wednesday with Righteous Reg. That's tomorrow. And we're going to be talking AEW Dynamite. Plus, tomorrow is the live drawing. For the first time ever, I'm going to be doing a live raffle on the stream where the winner will get free tickets. Sorry, not free tickets. Oh my gosh. What am I talking about? They're going to get a free pay-per-view watch for Double or Nothing. We'll get to watch Double or Nothing pay-per-view for free. And all they had to do I am going to promote it now if you do want to go and leave a review in Apple Podcasts. However, it does take sometimes a little bit over a day for it to go through. So I don't know if it's enough time, but if you want to try and get in on this giveaway, if you want to go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review, you guys are more than welcome to, and you will be included in the actual giveaway again to watch Double or Nothing for free on pay-per-view. And yeah. So we've got a lot of people that entered that now. I think we're at like over 20 something entries. So yay. And tomorrow is the live drawing. So if you want to, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts, and you have to do it on the actual app. So on the actual Apple Podcasts app, you can leave a review along with your username, and I will make sure to include you as long as it's in before the live stream. So if you want to do that, I would do it now, or else it won't go through. Alrighty, everyone. Now that is it, and I will see you guys back here tomorrow. Bye.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.